land, or about all of these things, you know. It is here about something much better. Friends, there's lots of people around us here in the UK and across the world, you know. When you look at them, they are people of great wealth, but they are not people that are blessed. There is such a big difference in there. Their lives are so empty. They don't understand the fullness of love and grace and what it is to bless other people, for example. So you can have everything in the world. You can have all the material wealth in the world, but you might not be a blessed person in this understanding. So this is the promise that God comes to do, and He wants to share His own being with each one of us. Now, when we read Genesis 17, we read a few things here, and I just want to read that for you because God is giving us a glimpse of what He wants to share with us here. In verse 1, He talks there, "I am God Almighty. Walk with me and be blameless." What powerful words. Walk before me and be blameless. "I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." And then in verse 7, "I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. As for you," in verse 9, "you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for generations to come." Friends, the mere fact that God is coming here and He's speaking to Abraham, the mere fact that He's coming into his life makes him a man of great significance. This God, the Almighty One, the one that says, "Walk before me in righteousness," that God is coming here and is giving Abraham this that he matters, that Abraham really matters to God. He gives him this purpose, this significance. Let me say this a little bit in a different way. I just want to show you this, for example, that each one of us, and Andy was really talking a little bit about this when we did the whole series on stories. Now, I didn't follow all of the different ones he did, but he was talking about this in there, that each one of us are made in the image of God. As such, we are His representatives. We bear His name. We bear His interests. We are there to promote His interests in this world, as well as his purposes for the world. We live in the name of the one we represent. I'll repeat that. We live in the name of the one we represent. It's not about our own interest. It is about His. You remember that Satan came when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden? There was a few things that he shared with Eve and with Adam at that stage. He said, "You know what? You can have your own fame. You know, you can be famous." And truly, they were famous, right? But you can also have your own kingdom. And you can also have your own agenda, your own interests. And that mere fact that that happened, that fall, that brokenness that came into the world at that stage, there was something that happened. We were removed, in a sense, from God. There were seeds of pride and of honor and of our own interest that infiltrated all of our lives. And we are still bearing the fruit of that today. But Abraham comes and says for us here, you, Abraham, you follow me. Out of all these peoples in the world, I want to show the world my grace and my love through you. I want to establish my purposes through your life. So he calls Abraham out of this place and want to do that. And the same thing God is doing with each one of us today. That he wants to call each one of us to a radical, you know, form of obedience. He wants us to abandon things and follow him, whatever it takes. Follow his agenda, his purposes for our lives. Seek him with all of our heart. And this is what God is really calling each one of us to. If we want to live purpose-driven lives, we need to place all our own interests, all of our agendas, all the things that we desire in this world, we need to put that on the altar before the feet of the Lord. In the eyes of the world, we might be nothing. But in God's eyes, we will be people of great significance. God wants to give this to each one of us. Matthew 16, verse 24 says the following, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." He must follow me. We must be willing to sacrifice everything to follow the God who calls us out. But you might be asking the question, you know, when you kind of think about your own life, you say, but what is so nice about me, you know? Can I really? You know, I've got so many faults. But let's just look at Abraham. You know, he wasn't kind of the most exemplary saint in the Bible. Let's put it that way, you know. So, you know, he was, for example, a man of many mistakes. Basically, there was hunger in Canaan, and what did he do? He went off to Egypt. And the Pharaoh kind of like looked with his googly eyes at Sarah, saying, "Ooh, this is a nice woman." And what did Abraham say? "Oh, no, this is my sister." And actually, the Pharaoh took Sarah for a wife. And then he discovered the real truth, you know. So he wasn't a guy with, you know, you would think that he was maybe a guy that doesn't really have a backbone, you know, if you want to put it in that way. So this is some of it. Also, you know, at 85 years old, he still didn't have any children. So what did he do? He gave God a helping hand, right? And he took the slave girl. Let's just make sure that this generations that you're talking about, God, that we will actually have some generations. He's coming there. Have you ever found yourself that you always are trying to help God out as well? We all do, right? I do it. I want to kind of like, you know, I'm always kind of like impatient, you know, and let's get going here. Let's move this on. You know, and so I kind of tend to want to also fix things for God. It is always interesting to kind of note that we, each one of us, do not have to be people with special gifts or talents, you know. God does not choose us because we are good or we are pretty or we can sing or we can do a sing and dance show or whatever. He chooses us because he wants to demonstrate his power through us. He wants, you know, when 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 talks about this treasure in jars of clay, you know, we are the jar and the treasure is inside, right? We are the brokenness, but the treasure is within. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to other people. As time goes on, Abraham finally did have a son. And it was true, it came true. But then, after that, when Abraham was 116, now, truly, at 75, he was ready for retirement. At 116, you know, let's put it this way, he was really ready for retirement. But then God comes and he says to him, you know, I've got actually a test for you, Abraham. In all of these years that I've been speaking to you, have you learned anything? And so what happens there is basically the Lord tells him to go to this mountain and to sacrifice Isaac on this mountain. But you know, when you read that, and I'll just read for you here, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father, yes, my son." Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Those words, God himself will provide, is one of some of the most significant theological statements in the whole of the Bible. It represents one of the names of God, that God provides, similar to the one that says El Roi, where God sees you. Those are some of the significant points where God is revealing himself. For Abraham to say these words must have been agony, because he didn't know, you know. But he was walking by faith and not by sight. He was basically just merely saying those words as almost a profession of faith. But in his heart, he must be going through hell in order as he was walking up this mountain. But God did provide, you know. And when we read about Hebrews, it is testified that Abraham was a man of faith. He trusted God for his provision. But you know what is interesting? This mountain, historians believe that this mountain where he went to sacrifice Isaac is also the mountain where Solomon built the temple many years later. And it is also thought that that would be the same mountain range where Jesus was crucified. On this mountain, God will provide. And he did indeed provide. It takes away all the excuses that we have to follow God with all of our hearts. He himself gave everything, and the only thing he asks of us is, come, follow me. Follow me in a radical way. You know, if I look at the world that we are living in today, it's a very broken world, and God is calling us out and saying, you come and follow me. So how do we become people of great significance and purpose in God's kingdom? In the first place, we need to be prepared to be nothing. Put everything on the altar. Our lives, our pride, our honor, our everything. Put it on the altar. Our children, our everything. Put that before the Lord. The second thing is to say yes. Yes, God, I want you to do something in my life. I want you to do something new. I want you to use my brokenness for your kingdom. And the third thing is we need to realize afresh that we don't really have any excuse because God has provided in everything. The blessing is also just not for us. We are blessed to be a blessing. And this is also when we come and we share with other people our own brokenness, the way that God is on a road with us, our journey with him, that is how we can bless other people. I'll just share with you something. Jackie and I, we've also been on a journey with the Lord. And the one thing that he's kind of like put in right in the middle of our lives is this whole issue of cancer. And not that the two of us don't have cancer, let me just put that. But we have, my mother, about 7 years ago, she passed away. She was, from the point of diagnosis to her death, was 19 days on cancer. And Jackie's father, he's had about 3 times cancer, and her mother has had cancer. So this thing is like a little mountain, or not a little mountain, it's a mountain, and it's standing right here. And the other day, I was kind of like looking at John Piper's books, and he has got this new book out, and it's called Don't Waste Your Cancer. What is this all about? It means that in that very place where our faith is most tested, that is the testimony to the world. And that is just a very radical thing for me to understand, that God wants to be glorified in our own brokenness as well. Dear friends, we live in a world that is also crying out in agony. You know, there's about 1 billion people that live in slums in the world. There are 27 million slaves in the world. By the way, who thought that slavery was abandoned? No, Malish. There's still a lot of slaves. There's 300,000 child soldiers in the world. And so I can go on and on. Each one of us are called to be the hands and the feet of God in our community. I so much appreciate your testimony this morning. We need to make that difference in our community, where we are at, and in this world. Who of you have got a bank account? Okay. You are part of the 8% of the world's richest people. I didn't ask whether you've got money in the bank account, right? If you have a bank account, you're part of the 8% of the world's richest people. Who of you have got food to eat this afternoon? Nice, something roasty and so on. Good. It makes you part of the 25% of the world's richest people. You know. So this is the world that we live in. And we have such a wonderful opportunity to be the hands and the feet of God in this community. There was a lady by the name of Lilia Strother. She lived about 130 years ago. And she actually went out to North Africa, to Algeria, to be a missionary there. Now, imagine yourself, big dress, big hat, Victorian. She did not have a portable air conditioner under her hat, going out into the desert to take the gospel to these people. And she wrote this: "Measure thy life by loss and not by gain. Not by the wine drunk, but by the wine poured forth. For love's strength standeth in love's sacrifice, and he who suffers most hath most to give." As part of my area of responsibility, I look after the country of Egypt, and there's an area leader also for Egypt. And I just had a young couple. Her name is Stephanie, and his name is Jason. They've got two children. They're from the U.S., and they were heading out for Cairo to become part of a church planting team in Cairo. And just a week and a half ago, we had the news that Jason, who is 27 years old, had a horrific heart attack and died in the U.S. They had all of their life before them. They were heading out, you know, into God's purposes for their life, and he died. And you know, the one thing that his wife wrote there is that Jason was living a life that is abandoned to God. And this is the life that we are on. This is the journey that we are on. And it was actually after he died, Stephanie had a pregnancy test, and she's expecting their third child. So this is very heartbroken, you know, and it's kind of difficult to see that happen when you're 27 years old. But each one of us have our days numbered, right? Each one of us have an opportunity to make a difference in the time that we are alive. Let's use that opportunity. I want to invite any one of you that wants to come afterwards and wants to come and pray with the team in the front, do so. If you feel like your journey has gone off its rails, you want to get back with God and share your life with Him in a new and refreshing way, come. It's the opportunity to do so. Jesus said, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who has believed in me should stay in darkness." Let's pray together. Lord, as we read these words from Jesus, we see his heart for this world that we are in. We see his heart for each one of us. God, we want to serve you with our lives. We want to live abandoned lives for you. Help us to do so, Lord. We want to admit that we are frail. Lord, we sometimes doubt your faithfulness so much. But I pray, Lord, that you will grab us anew today, that you'll intervene in our lives today so that we can be blessed and that we can be a blessing. Amen.